Amen. How many are glad that you're here this morning? Raise your hand. Yeah. Let's raise the praise to Jesus this morning. Amen. Boy, no matter what, how difficult life is still good because God is what? God is good. God is good. God is good. I want to say once again, welcome to everyone here. Welcome to everyone who's watching online. We're so glad that you could be here with us today. This is a special day because we have special people in the house. Of course, God is in his house. Holy Spirit is in the house. But we also have some other great folks in the house. And we're so glad that we could have our friends and our pastors from Home Church in Red Deer, Pastor Mel and Heather Mullen. Will you give my hand? Welcome. Welcome. So good to have you here today. And we had a great time with Pastor Mel yesterday. And we believe that God is going to speak through him to us this morning. So will you welcome him? We're so glad. Come on up, Pastor Mel. We're so glad to be connected to Home Church in Red Deer. Home Church is an incredible church, incredible organization, great ministry. And, you know, without them, you know, we would feel kind of disconnected. But like Pastor Mel says, that every pastor needs a pastor and every church needs a model church. And Home Church is an incredible model. So anyway.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Dougal. Will you give your pastors a great hand? They're doing a great job. And amazing. You know, Pastor Doug, it's such a great joy to be in our relationship with you. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I came down here, I pulled down here with a truck and a trailer and we met in the campground and you asked us if we'd be a special covering and ministry to your church. And
yeah,
it's just been a joy. That must have been about 10 years ago.
Yeah, almost. Maybe not quite.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
somewhere in there.
Pretty close to that. Maybe my wife would know. She has a better memory. Pretty close, yeah. Pretty
close, And so we enjoy this wonderful relationship between your church and our church. And I'm so pleased to be here with you this morning. And yesterday, I did a half-day leadership event, which it was kind of a kickstart because I've been at home since arriving from Riga, Latvia, into lockdown, and haven't been able to travel for 10 months. And so yesterday was kind of my kickstart of a new seminar that I'm taking to churches to help them get restarted or reset the vision. And we had a wonderful time. And the leaders that were here, didn't we have a wonderful time?
It was really good.
It was a fantastic time. Now, by the way, are those, I think it was done, was it put on video?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
There was some streaming involved for the leaders that couldn't make it.
Yeah, okay.
They were able to stream.
But you know, there's even some notes there left over.
Yeah, there might
yesterday.
Be some notes if people want to grab
anybody
them.
Anybody wants to take it, they're yours complimentary.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I've got these two books. This book was written when my father committed suicide and I had to face my man issues, and the result of it was a book that is really helpful for men. It works with men groups. We've got videos that go along with the book. And it's also a book that grandparents oftentimes use it with their young grand boys. Mm-hmm. And parents use it with their boys. And it's fantastic. And then my book, Experience. I know that you were,
We had that a couple years ago. We sold quite a few of those books to some men. We had a men's breakfast. But there are probably a lot of men that haven't. Don't have that book yet.
Yeah, as far as the Be a Man.
Yes.
But then my book, Experience Jesus and His Church, took me 10 years to write. And it's the whole story of Home Church. And this church has adopted so many of the principles that are in this book. Mm-hmm. And it's been, I want to make sure that you have it. You can purchase it. I'm not just in the business of selling books, but you need something in your hand to read, especially in these pandemic times.
Yes.
And so you can get the book there, and the church here will look after selling you the book. So thank you. God
okay.
bless you.
All
Amen.
Right.
Pastor
right.
Doug,
Amen.
You're doing
Pastor
great Mel. Job.
All
Amen.
Right.
Thank you so
it.
Much. You know, a lot of people are asking the question, what does God have for 2021? And before I get into the message, I'd like to give it to you. Psalms chapter 65 says, you crown the year with goodness. Would you say goodness? You're gonna expect this year that goodness is coming your way. And then it says here, that you crown the year with goodness and your paths drip with abundance. Come on, somebody. You might have been in shortfall or shortcome or something last year, but I've got some good news for you. The Word of God tells you that this year is going to be a year of goodness, and it's going to be a year of abundance. You're not going to eke and squeak and get through life and even survive. You're going to live in abundance this year. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, you can take this word to your life. You can take it to the bank, literally, because God's word is God's word. This is the word for you. And then over in Psalms chapter 66, it says, you brought us out to rich fulfillment. And the text of Scripture says this: you refined us, you tested us, you brought us into the net, you laid affliction on our backs, you've caused men to ride over our heads. It sounds like government restrictions. Come on, somebody. And we went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out. Somebody said, you brought us out into rich fulfillment. Rich fulfillment. So I'm asking that God will give you this. Then I woke up just a few days ago, and the Lord gave me two verses of Scripture from Joel. He said, I will restore and I will pour. You can read the text of Scripture, and I'm going to preach to you from that this morning. Would you take your hand like this, put it on your heart like this, and say, Lord, give me faith to believe your word and put it into practice in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about Jesus. In our church back in Red Deer, we've been doing a whole series of messages on Jesus, the center of life. And we've been talking about people getting Christ-centered as the center of your life. Then we yesterday talked about leaders, about getting word-based or founded on the word. And it's so important that you get yourself started back with the word. The word, not the news, the word. Come on, the word. Somebody said the word. What's your life founded on, the news, or is it founded on the word? And so it's so important that you get this, you get a just reset your life, because, you know, reset, and the whole world is in this whole thing of reset. And of course our prime minister is trying, doing everything he can to reset our world into another world. And we're in this whole thing in the world. The whole world is talking about the reset. And leaders all over the world are talking about reset. Resetting our economy. Resetting the way we live. Resetting our government. Resetting, resetting, resetting. Into a more of a globalistic world government. And this is where it's heading. But in the church, we're resetting our lives and we're resetting our church. Somebody said amen. And we're getting ready for the bigger, better, greater. Somebody said bigger, better, greater. Shout it again. Bigger, better, greater. You see, you've got to take on a new mindset as you move into 2021. This is the word of the Lord for you, is to get your mind renewed and reset your thinking. And you got to reset your thinking about who Jesus is and what he has done in your life. And so this morning, I'm talking to you about Jesus, the great, the God of great restoration. And so we know Jesus as salvation. Everybody said salvation. And salvation is deliverance. Jesus delivered you. Jesus forgave you. Jesus freed you. Jesus healed you. Jesus made you whole. And Jesus blessed you. And he delivered you from poverty. And he brings you into the blessing of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we understand what salvation is. But Jesus is not just our Savior. He is our Restorer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. And so he's our restorer. And this word restoration means to bring back, to restore to its original state, to renovate, to recondition, to repair, to refurbish, and to make it even better, and to bring your life to fullness. Everybody said, make it even better. So let's just think about this for a moment. You build a house, you move into the house. You're probably a little bit conservative even in the furniture and all the things you do when you build that first house, but it's a beautiful new home. Then you live in it for 30 years, and it needs a refurbish. And what do? You change the carpet. You get better carpet. Come on. You get better furniture. Come on. You tear out some walls. You get better. You get larger rooms. And you begin to make it. You just, everything you do, you take it to another level than what it was in the beginning. That's what God does with us. He doesn't just take us back to where we were or where he takes us where we are supposed to be, and he makes life even better. Come on. Amen. He restores my soul. I'm telling you, I'm a better person than I was when I was 20. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. He restores you and makes you even better. This is restoration. What's God going to do with City Light Church? He's going to make this church the bigger, better, greater church. Come on, amen. Make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and give you some leadership in this city. Come on, amen. And you're going to move into not just refurbished, you're going to get even better. Hallelujah. Because there's a mantle on this church and on your leadership to begin to lead in this city in another dimension of greatness and goodness. Come on, amen. Your pastor has served this city for years, and now God's going to take him up to another level. By the way, you got to believe what I say. Hallelujah. Salvation, restoration. See, this is the work that Jesus does. He saves us, and he restores us. The story of Jesus and the Good Samaritan. Remember that story? And by the way, Jesus is the picture of the Good Samaritan. He is the Good Samaritan, was Jewish and Gentile. It was a mixed race. It was the Jew and the Gentile producing the Samaritan. And they became a reject out of society. But Jesus, the God-man, come on, the God and man came down to earth, and he came to restore us. Remember the story of the good shepherd? He came along. The priest came by. Religion just passed by. The Levite passed by, but the good Samaritan, he came down to the man, and he saw them in the ditch. And the scripture says there that he... he came to where he was. He got down. By the way, this is the mantle, the responsibility of our church, because there's going to be a lot of people in the ditch. A lot of people wounded and broken. Come on, amen. But this church is going to be a great restorer church of people that are going to get right down in the ditch, identify where people are at, pour in the wine, which is a picture of the cross, what Jesus did with his blood, and the oil, which is the Holy Spirit, and lift people out of the ditch, put them on a donkey, and take them to the church. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. This is a church that is going to bring restoration to your city. And then he took him there, paid the price. Come on. He invested in him and paid the price and said, I'll look if there's anything. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid it all. Come on, hallelujah. He paid it all. He finished it, and he paid the price for our salvation, our redemption, our healing, our wholeness, our wellness, and our blessing. Come on, amen. And he not only saves us, he restores us. Well, let's talk about this. God's promise for 2021. By the way, about December the 13th, I was awakened in the morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I And the Holy Spirit said to me, 20, because I always ask God for a word for the year, for the coming year. I write it down, and of course the word was Psalm 65 and Psalm 66. But then I asked God for a further word. And I woke up, and this is what came to my mind. And it was this: 2021 is the year of the local church. Somebody say that with me. 2021 is the year of the local church. And so in the morning, I sent Debbie Bolton, who's one of our business leaders, actually co-founder of the Great Norwex Company, and I sent her a message. I said, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said 2021 is the year of the local church. So she sends me a picture, a statement that had been made by one of the major churches in the world, and they had declared, and she sent me back the picture, 2021 is the year of the local church. I said, well, okay, I got it from God. That whole organization got it from God. Obviously, this is going to be the year of the local church. Come on, somebody. Then I was awakened just a few days ago, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me those two verses of Scripture, Joel chapter 2, I will restore and I will pour. Say it with me. I will restore and I will pour. And those were the verses of Scripture that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost when the church was born. He said, this is that which the Holy Spirit spoke. I will pour out my Spirit. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions. Your young men will see dreams. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, amen. And so I'm declaring that 2021 is the start of a great move of Holy Ghost, amen, in salvation. And I'm also declaring the next 20 years are going to be the greatest years in the history of the Christian church. In fact, I believe that God will do more in the next 20 than he has ever done in any century in the history of the church. I will pour. Say it with me. I will pour. I will restore. Well, the question is this: what will he restore? I'm going to give you 6 points. Number one, he will restore my soul. Psalm 23. Say it with me. He restores my, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores. Everybody said, restores my soul. Well, the question is, what is your soul? Well, your soul is, number one, it's your mind. Number two, it's your emotion. And number three, it's your will, mind, emotion, and will, your decision. Now let me ask you the question. In 2020, were you ever attacked in your mind? Come on, somebody. Was your mind ever tried to be influenced by the negative or the circumstances or the issue? Was your thinking demeaned by what you heard? Was your thinking reduced? Was your thinking brought into question? Was your thinking absurd? Was your thinking blurred? Was your thinking twisted? Come on, somebody. Heather Hergott, she really got hit in the head. Come on, amen. And me too. You wonder, what's life going to go? Where is it going to go? What are we going to do? Is there going to be a future? Is the da-da-da-da-da? And your mind goes into all kinds of turmoil and circumstances and fear. But God says, I will restore your thinking. Hallelujah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your thoughts my thoughts. And God's going to give you new thoughts for 2021. Thoughts of faith and courage and strength. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Take on a new mind. What about your feelings? One of our funeral directors in Red Deer said that a good portion of those that die are suicidal deaths. And people talk about thinking, talk about feelings. Talking about the negative factors that are affecting people today, and they're being diminished, and their courage is taken from them. They're so discouraged and so hopeless, they take their own life. feelings. And your life, how many of you have been attacked by fear? Fear has been the driving power behind the virus. Come on, amen. But God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Come on, amen. And I said in my WOW word for the week, which I publish every week, that when you get love, power, and a sound mind, it suddenly generates some faith in your life. Your feelings and your will, mind, emotion, and will, decision making. You're going to make better decisions in 2021 than you did in 17, 18, and 19. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And your mind, emotion, and will are going to, God will restore your soul and move you up to another level of life because He restores my soul. Number two. What will He restore? Well, He'll restore your joy. Joel chapter 2 talks about the joy was taken from the sons of men. When you lose everything, and the whole book of Joel is about the, you know, the locusts that come and eat away at the crop. The locusts, and it's kind of interesting there. I'm going to find it here in my notes. The locust comes. First of all, comes the crawling locust. That was about 2020, about the middle of March, and the crawling locust came along, and we got the shutdown. And many businesses went broke. And then we had the consuming locust. They just another locust just kind of blew in like a cloud over the summer, and people that had were diminished in March, April, May, and all of a sudden they're struggling in July, August, and September, and many more people went broke, and they were trying to survive, and they were just eating away at their life and their business and their future. And then the chewing locust came along, and he just came along and chewed up everything between about November the 15th and January, and right now. Come on, amen. And the goal of the devil is to leave you with nothing. Broke. Your savings, your investments, everything you had in life was taken from you. But what does God say? I will restore. Somebody shout hallelujah. I will restore your joy. I had an experience, it was about November the 15th of last year, and I had not realized that I had lost a lot of my joy. They had just taken it from me over the, and I'm working hard, and I'm serving God, and I'm working in faith, and reading the Word, and doing everything that I know to do as a pastor, as a leader, and yet the joy was eking out, just leaking out like a leaking bucket. And I woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly I had this surge of joy. And I said to Heather in the morning, my joy is back. Come on, somebody, hallelujah. Because we understand what it is to have nothing and have joy. I'll just tell you the story. When we went to Red Deer almost 49 years ago, and we arrived in that city. We had a check for $75, another one for $200. And the pastor that gave me the $200 said, go plant a church. He said, if you ever need some money, give us a call. And I said, I'll never give you a call. We had nothing. Living in a dumpy suite. About 30 young people had got saved, the Jesus people. We were traditional pastors ministering to these, you know, troubled youth. We had nothing. Heather had one nice green dress that she wore to church. I still remember that green dress. She wore it for years. I'm serious about it. I had this kind of a brown jacket, and I wore that, and that was what I had. We had a few clothes. We had a couple suitcases. We had a car, and we're living in a dumpy suite. But there was one thing that we had. I had a tambourine, and I beat it. Come on. She played the piano. Come on, amen. And we danced sometimes till midnight. Hallelujah. Anita can talk, I tell you about her parents, because we were in a close relationship, and we had these Jesus people rallies, and we'd jump and dance and play the tambourine and shout hallelujah, and there was one thing we had the joy of the Lord. I've got some good news for you. God is going to give you a surge of joy, and you're going to walk out of this place with a smile on your face, hallelujah, and God will restore your joy. Put your hand up and say, I'm a taker. Come on, amen. Put it up. Hand your whole, say, put your hand up. I'm a taker. Come on. I'm a taker. Joy. What else will he restore? Number two, he'll restore paths to dwell in. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says this. The mountain of the Lord's house, which is his church, will be established above the hills, making the church the most important place on earth. And you will come and say to the banker, I'm putting it in. Come on, to the businessman. Come on, amen. To the hotel worker, to the. You will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house, for there Pastor Doug will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. That's what the word of the Lord is. Because this church is going to double at the end of trouble. Come on, amen. And you're going to two services next week. Come on, amen. And you're just going to bring somebody with you to both services. Come on, amen. And you're going to pack this place out to the walls as far as you can get. And we're going to squeeze a few more chairs in. And what will he restore? Two paths, ways and paths. The ways of the Lord. He'll teach you the way. Jesus is the way. He'll teach you the way to live, the way to conquer, the way. And he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and he will direct your path, and he'll put you on a new path of prosperity and blessing. Come on, shout hallelujah, and you'll experience the ways and the paths of God. I will restore your path. Somebody said this, good preaching. Come on, amen. You don't say so, I'll say it myself. Mel, it was outstanding. Come on, amen. Keep going. I'll restore your soul. Say soul. I'll restore your joy. I'll restore your paths. But here's the fourth one. I will restore your fortunes. Have you lost any fortunes? Have you lost any money? How was 2017, 18, 19, and 20? Story of Job. An amazing story, because God gave Job double for trouble. Say it with me, double for trouble. In fact, Proverbs even promises you more than the double. But let's just go for double. Let's just go for the Job trouble. Let's just go for double for trouble. So, Job chapter 1, the devil comes and steals, kills and destroys, takes his possessions from him, his camels and his donkeys and his sheep are destroyed, his family is destroyed, the house burns down, his health is destroyed, about chapter 3, and he's sitting beside the road with the doggy licking at his wounds and his wife saying, curse God and die. Oh, you know, that's trouble. Come on. When you don't have your wife standing with you anymore, you're really in trouble. And then his friends come along. And his first three friends, and by the way, you'll find out who your real friends are when you're in trouble. Come on, listen to me. And his three friends come, and they have this interchange, and there's the judgmental attitude of the older friends. the guys that have been with him for a long time, and they have this interaction and interchange, and they're confronting him and telling him why he lost everything he had because he did da 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 da. And he's arguing back, and it's a real inspiration of the scripture because it actually teaches you what your friends are really like, and what you can expect in trouble. Finally, about chapter 36, 5, 6, or 7, somewhere in there, there's a younger friend that comes into the picture. And you know, something you learn as well is that the older friends are oftentimes more judgmental than the younger friends. Hello? The older Christians are oftentimes, they're so theologically correct, they oftentimes are in a position of where they will correct you. Hello? Come on, you old dogs. Come on, amen. And then the younger ones are not so judgmental, and so God doesn't call the younger man to repentance. He calls actually the older guys to repent for the way they judged Job. And Job prays for his friends and forgives his friends, and then God gives him double for trouble. And he ends up with double the sheep and double the camels and double, and God gives him another family equal to that he had, come on, amen, and God gives him double for his trouble. Can God do that for you? I want to ask that question again. Can God do that for you? Whatever happened to you, 17, 18, 19, and 20, God is about ready to do something in 21 to start the restoration process of giving you double for every trouble you faced. God said to the children of Israel who were in captivity, I'm sending you back. And he said there, a verse of scripture, I've found you, I will be found of you, I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. Come on, somebody. I will restore. Say it with me. I will restore your fortunes. I love this verse. Psalm 126, restore your fortunes, Lord, as streams renew in the desert. And if you've been to the desert, different desert places, it's desert. We, Heather and I, go and preach in a church in Laredo, Texas, and I took her down there, and she says, there's nothing here but just Texas, just cactus trees and thistles. But I've been there when she wasn't there, when the water had come and flowed through the desert. Somebody shout hallelujah, and it turned green. Come on. It was beautiful, and the butterflies were flowing through, stopping on their way to South America. Come on, amen. And things had changed when the water came. I will restore your fortunes like water in the desert. Say it with me, soul, joy, paths, fortunes, your health. How many of you need a health injection? Your health. So many people are fighting with emotional and spiritual, relational health. Come on, listen to me. Physical health. And then once your immune system begins to break down, then it begins to affect your physical health. But what does God say? Jeremiah 30, verse 17. I will restore your health, and I will heal you of your wounds. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Wounds. All the emotional wounds, all the issues, the bruises and the cuts and the all the things that affected you emotionally, God says, I will restore your health and I will heal you of your wounds. And then last of all, number six, he says, I will restore the years that the locust hath eaten. The years. The years. Say it with me. The years. So last year was, hey, It was a hard year. We worked harder than we ever worked in our life. I got home from Riga, Latvia, and on my desk was 75 phone calls to make to business leaders. And we worked, and we had Zoom. I'm so tired of Zoom. I don't know. I don't like Zoom. I'm Zoomed out. I'm pandemic out. Come on. I'm about done out. Come on. The year. And I think about 2020, it will be a long year of a, you know, have you ever had a bad year in your marriage? You remember that one? Remember? Yeah. Nobody had a bad year. Heather and I had a bad year. The first year we got married, it was a bad year. Hello? Somebody's laughing back there. Come on. The years that the locust had eaten. And he says, I'll restore the years. So I had a little prayer to God the other day. And here's what my prayer was. Lord, you know my days. You know my years. You've numbered them. And you've actually said on a certain day, a certain time, Mel is going to die. He knows our years. So I told him in my prayer, add one more year. Come on, hallelujah. Give me another year. Give me that year back. You know, you can ask God for that in your life. If you've had some bad years, just say, Lord, give me double for trouble. Add it back to my life. Give me my years back. Give me my health back. Give me my path back. Give me my joy back. Give me my soul back. And if you can add a gift of faith to this message, you can have everything I've preached on back, and God will restore your life. So what have you been facing? What do you want to just cancel? I love it when you just put an X over there. Just X. Play X's and O's. X. Out of my life. 2020. Out of my life. Gone. Can you believe for this? Oh, I didn't hear anybody. Yes, can you believe for this? Can you believe that your church will double for trouble? Can you believe that your church is going to move into the greatest years of its history and its life, greater than any of its past, which has been wonderful? Can you believe that your pastor will take on a new level of authority in your city? Lord spoke to me this morning and said, Pastor Doug, I've watched you. Your pastor has stepped up in levels of authority that he did not function in 10 years ago. And now he's stepping up to another level. Remember when I transitioned out of the giving leadership to the church in Calgary, and we gave a number of years into Calgary to start a couple church campuses. And when I finished the work, God said to me, you are now stepping into another level of authority. And Pastor Doug, this is the word of God to you from this day forth. You're going to work in another level of confidence, another level of leadership. You've probably wondered, how is the city responding to me? You will not even care to ask that question anymore. You will just step up, step out, and step into another level of authority. It's just like Jesus when he came out of the wilderness and he was full of the Holy Spirit, and they said, "What a man is this?" And all of a sudden, isn't this the guy that was the son of the carpenter that had the carpenter shop down the street? And he came out of, and he got baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, went through the wilderness, and the devil left him, and they said, "What a man is this?" That's your word. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And in business, some of you are going to step up into arenas of authority and responsibility, and you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're not going to be just one of many of the same kind of businesses that you that are in the city. You're actually going to step up and become leaders in business. Somebody shout hallelujah. And you're going to move up into another level because God is repositioning you. Sir in the back, God's repositioning you. He's repositioning you and repositioning you. And he's repositioning his church into the bigger, better, and greater. And you're coming out of your wilderness experience of 2020 into your glorious future, which has been prophesied over this church years ago, but it took a pandemic to bring it to pass. And all things work together for good. Would you take your hand like this and put it on your heart and say, I believe this word. I believe God is restoring my soul, my joy, my path, my fortune, my health, my years. Thank you, God, for coming into my life and giving me the gift of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me talk to somebody that has been, so there's someone here that has been kind of looking on. The Lord gives me a picture of people that kind of look on, and they see and they want. But there comes a point where you don't just see and want. You actually step over the line into belief. And you've been looking on at Christianity and looking on at Jesus. And you kind of like it. But you just haven't stepped over the line. And you step over the line by believing and receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And at that moment, you get the born-again experience. Your life is changed radically, supernaturally, and wonderfully. Something just switches. And you move from darkness to light, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. And you move into a life of faith and confidence. And you experience everything that I began to talk about this morning, about your salvation, your deliverance, your freedom, your wholeness, your completeness, your all the things that Jesus provided on the cross becomes suddenly yours. Somebody said, wow. So bow your heads for a moment. And if that's you I'm talking to, would you be bold enough to just put up your hand? I'm not going to invite you to come forward, but I'm going to invite you to just put up your hand and say, you're talking to me, Pastor. 1, 2, 3, just hold it up. Because I know I'm talking to actually, 2 or 3 this morning. I can't see everybody because it's kind of dark in here, but the rest of us are going to put our hands up and say, thank you for coming into my life, saving me, transitioning me, and restoring me. Jesus, you gave your life for me so I could have life. I now receive that free gift of eternal life. Thank you for coming into my life, forgiving my past, and giving me a brand new start today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a shout, shall we, and thank him for his goodness. We'll just look forward to coming back.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a great word. Great word. You know, we have to own that word, right? We have to declare that word over our life. So, you know, oftentimes we hear a message, we forget about it, but this is one that you don't want to forget, right? So let's declare that every day over our life. God, you're not just going to restore to us, you're also going to pour back into us all those things that we might have lost over the years. We're longing, you know, for God to give us. God is ready to give it back to us as we press in and we believe for him. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much for that great word, Pastor Mel. You know, I just want to say that if you said that prayer and we didn't see your hand, you know, just go back to the welcome lounge and Victor will be there to tell you what next step in faith in God is. If you said that prayer online, I want you to press that little hand, that little symbol at the bottom, near the bottom of the screen, that says, I said that prayer. We want to know if you said that prayer, which is so important that, you know, you tell someone about it. Then you can phone the number at the bottom of the screen and we'll connect you with someone, a real person that you could talk to tell you what your next faith step in your great journey with God will be. Amen? So if you did that, you're here and online, you know, go tell someone. Go tell someone. Amen? All right. So I'm going to finish off by reminding us, you know, one of the points that Pastor Mel said, that God wants to restore our fortunes. And one of the great best ways that you start doing it is by you becoming a generous giver. There's a proverb that says, one man withholds unduly and he comes to poverty. Another one gives and he gains even more. So, you know, God wants to bless us back in the area of finances and prosperity. And the way that he does that is by when we learn how to be great givers. When you give, listen, God will give back to you, right? You know, one man keeps on giving, he gets even more. It's like you keep giving and God keeps giving back to you. You hold back and you kind of lose everything, right? So let's learn that powerful principle. So there are different ways that you can give. You can give by cash, check, debit, or e-transfer. You can give online too as well. So let's begin, be generous givers. Let's give to the house of God. Now, Pastor Mel also, like, didn't talk about this, but he's also got these great books back there. So, you know, you can give and you can also purchase, you know, go back there. I believe somebody's going to be back there to tell you how you can give. And there's some special prices when you buy more than one book, I believe, too, as well. So this is a way that we can help support Pastor Mel and Heather in their ministry, too, as well. Amen. So let's give a gift that way, too, as well. All right. So we're done. We're so glad you could be here. So Pastor Mel, can you come back and just pronounce a blessing over us today before we leave?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand up together? Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He give you peace in your coming and in your going. May you this week increase in the blessing of God. May your life really count this week, affecting others for God's great kingdom. May this be the start of a brand new week that enters you into a whole new life of living. We declare this for you and bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Bless you.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're here and you have a prayer need, we have a prayer team for you that'll pray for you. So don't leave without somebody, you know, praying for you and blessing you through prayer. Amen. God bless you. See you next week. Make sure you sign up for church next week. One of two services. You get to pick. You choose. But we want to know so we can accommodate everyone. God bless you. See you next week.